Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thank you to everybody who helped us help the kids at St. Jude. You matter. They matter. Together, we're making it matter. St. Jude is doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like yours, families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope if you haven't. And get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It'll look good on you. Join the doctors, researchers, and join me in the fight. And visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's easy design, impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
It's time for the Bobby Bones Post Show. Here's your host, Bobby Bones.
Hello, friends. The most regretted college majors. Mine is at number one, journalism. And you know, I was talking to, who's that? How was that? Oh, it was, Mike, who did I talk with about college majors? Jordan Reynolds. So we've been doing a bunch of Bobbycasts to get caught up for the end of the year. Jordan Reynolds is a songwriter who wrote a bunch of stuff, but he wrote a bunch of Dan and Shay, massive song, starting with Tequila and all the way down. I had a really good time with him. That'll be out in a couple weeks. But we were talking about college majors, and he was a vocal major, but he's never a singer. But he was like, I don't want to do music, so he moved down it from St. Louis. And I was like, well, I was a TV radio major, one of my deals, and you don't need that. And I told the story about how I went to Texas State and told the kids in the radio class, don't do this. Don't study this. If you want to do it, just go learn it out in the real world while you go to college and study something else. Because learning it in college doesn't help you at all. Because no station, especially in the radio world, goes, oh, you have a college degree from radio. Here's a leg up. Not one single one. TV different, because there are some skills that you can learn at the college television station, but I got in a lot of trouble, and they said, don't never come back to the school again. And then years later, I got a letter going, we're sorry about that. You can come back. But we were talking about that, and I said, yeah, for like what we do, or like it'd be like going to podcasting college. You know, you just do it. You get on the internet, you look up how to do it, and then you do it wrong, and then you do it kind of wrong, then you do it okay, then you do it pretty good, and if you have the patience, you end up doing good, and you can make a little bit of money or a lot. But journalism's the number one major. And that's me, and I agree. No need. Number two, sociology. Number three, liberal arts general studies. But here's the thing. I still think these are valuable in that you did prove that you could take a task, look at it, finish it, you have it. But it's just this specifically is the least valuable of all. I'm also at a period where I don't even think you have to go to college. I went to college. Nobody in my family had ever been to college. Nobody in my family graduated high school. But I went. It was important to me to go. But if somebody was like, my kid, if we ever have kids, was like, I don't want to go to college. I already know what I want to do. Cool. You can always go back to college. go get it. Go start working on what you want to work on. I definitely don't think you need to go to college at this point. Now, there are some things that college does lead you into a little easier. A job in finance. You know, specific type jobs. But I definitely am not a you have to go to college type guy. Education at 5, and they keep on going down. But most people, they say almost half, say that their job major was stupid and they shouldn't have done it. Yours?
I liked mine. I mean, I was political science from till my junior year. And I hated it.
Political science?
Yes, it was horrible. You're doing it. No. Junior, I hated it so much. And then I switched and I just needed to graduate kind of on time. So my advisor, in order for me to get out in 4.5 years, she switched me to agricultural development because you have to have not a minor, but an emphasis in something. And so my
does that mean you just walk by the classroom if it's not a minor?
What does that mean?
No,
you
emphasis,
just know somebody who took a class?
It was like if you've like my 12 hours of poli sci transferred over because it
and
had.
And that counted as an emphasis?
Yeah.
Wow. I had a minor in French.
Oh, uh-huh.
You using that?
Oui.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't use mine.
Well, I strategized my French minor because we had to take a foreign language. For to be a communications major, you got to take four 3-hour classes of a foreign language. Spanish was full. I want to take Spanish.
But yeah, that would have been good.
And so then I was like, well, I guess I'll take French. I was terrible at it. But I finished one, two the next year. Then they said, for your minor, well, you only need 15 hours for a minor. And I was like, wait, I need one more class to have a French minor? And they're like, yeah. So I took a French lit class, which was all in English. We just learned about literature. Mm. And so they have a French minor.
Nice.
That's cool.
Bonjour. but yeah, worthless. Right, worthless. Lunchbox, you?
Oh, easy. Speech communication. Nailed it. Oh. And public relations.
You made the list.
And minor general business. That's why I'm a businessman making business deals, trying to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most ridiculous one was my roommate, though. He got a degree in philosophy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, guess if philosopher? You're going to teach philosophy, that's pretty cool.
Can you be a philosopher, though?
I feel like I am a lot of times. You can just call yourself one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was going to go into criminal justice, but it was going to take 4.5 years, so he switched to philosophy. And he would come home and argue with me, hey, how do you know we're awake right now and we're not dreaming?
Absolutely. How do you know we're not a simulation?
Oh, and I'm like, oh my God.
You don't know. That's the point of it. You don't know.
But that is what he did all day. He got a degree in that.
Yeah, I love it. Those classes changed my life in many ways. That I continue to take philosophy classes even after my first two. I tell you the story about my philosophy professor?
How do you know he's real?
I don't know anything's real. The only thing we know is real, really, is us. And then we're confused about that. I don't know what you're thinking. I can't see inside. But here's what happened.
You know what I'm thinking.
No, I go to my philosophy
class.
You're
thinking he's an idiot.
I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about?
Yes, but are you just saying that to make me question the fact that I shouldn't be figuring out what's happening in here?
Oh, boy.
Right? I mean, it's.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. This was my roommate living with him. And it was just like, I can't talk to you because you come up with these dumb conversations.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's dumb.
I went and I learned about the cave. The allegory of the cave. Oh, boy. And it was one of the greatest things I'd ever learned because what it taught me was I don't know anything going on. I see things. My perceptions do say I see, touch, feel. But I really don't know anything. And you start to wonder, what is there even a known? However, I learn it. I'm not going to go into it. But I'm so moved by it. I dial in on this class. I don't even want to take this class because they're like, this professor is so hard. And I take the class. Because it was the only one I could get into at that point. I was working and I had to be selective on what times I could take things. I was working a full-time job. So I couldn't just go take the class. Oh, I really want that class. Well, it's only offered at 3. Well, I had to drive an hour to get to work by then, so I couldn't. So I took this really hard class from this really hard professor. They said, don't take. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know. So I go and I learn about the cave. And Plato's rocking it, man. People lived in a cave. The whole time in the cave, they were basically chained to the ground, right? These two people, maybe two or three, chained to the ground. And they lived in the bottom of a cave. And on the wall of the cave, all they saw was like lights. And that was from the outside of the cave coming in. It was like the fire made reflection on the lights. But they had never actually left the cave because they were chained to the ground. And they could only look forward. And their entire world was this, what they saw in front of them. It'd be like what you see every day in your life, what's in front of you. But all they ever saw was what was in front of them. One of them was freed. He goes out of the cave and he sees the whole world. And he sees birds and he sees mountains. And he breathes air differently. And he sees green grass. He sees colors he's never seen before, because the only thing they'd ever seen ever in their whole life was the reflection of the fire in the cave and the on that wall. And he's able to experience all these things. He's only out for a little bit. They put him back in. They chain him back down to this position he's been his whole life. And he goes, guys, you're never going to believe this. Out there, colors, birds, little things that fly, other people, mountains, clouds, blue skies, rain, water coming from. And they're like, what are you talking about? There's no, they can't even comprehend what this person saw. They don't even believe he left. They couldn't see him. He just got quiet. They don't know that he left and ran around and saw all this stuff, felt these things. So they're like, you're the biggest idiot ever. You're so stupid. That doesn't happen. That can't possibly exist. He's like, no, I went out of the cave. I saw it all. They're like, no, you're so dumb. That can't happen because the whole world is just here, what we see. This is our whole world. There's nothing more than this. And he's like, that's what we think, but we haven't had the ability to actually get out of here. But I was able to go. And so, again, we were able to have leg, feet to walk. God, stop. Okay, you're now insane. You're now insane, and we're not going to be your friend anymore. Now, he left the cave. He was able to see all this stuff. And what that is how do we know there aren't people that can see and do things that we can't? The fire to us is what we see every day in our life. And what we're able to take in with our eyeballs and our ears and our senses. And we're not even able to see things that our dogs can see or people. Some people can think things differently, better. But we are the people in the cave. And that wall is what we're able to see and experience every single day and what's on it. And we go, no, there's no way outside of our earth there can be things living. It doesn't have to even be that. It can be things here with us that we can't smell or see or touch. Or it can be a limitless amount of things because we probably can't even think of them. And are we those people in the cave? Yeah, in some way, sure, because we can't ever see anything but what's on the wall. Anyway, that's the allegory of the cave.
Mm. I wanted to apologize to everyone listening and you guys in here. I should have never brought up philosophy and my roommate getting a
changed,
degree.
Changed my life, right? And so then I started to just dive into all of these different philosophers. Everybody from, I mean, somebody called this, that was this morning, or was it recorded about Voltaire? When I was like, no, Voltaire actually said, it was Voltaire who said it, mm-hmm. who said, I may not agree with you, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it, paraphrase. And so, but I started to study all of these philosophers and everything that I had learned growing up. And I grew up in an environment that wasn't very welcoming to new ideas, wasn't very inclusive, because everybody just went to work. There was no, we don't want to learn it. It was like, there's no time to learn it. There's no welcoming it because you got to pay the bills. And a lot of my even belief system was tilted because of all the things I learned that I didn't know, which taught me all the things that I knew I could never learn. So why would I say things couldn't happen when I don't have the ability to understand what can and can't? So all this stuff, my mind is just going, I'm just boom, every day. And it was hard class too, but every day. I was challenged to the point where I would be exhausted and I would be sad. I'd be really sad because here I am questioning a lot of things that I was taught for no reason. I was just taught it because people around me were taught it and you just pass it down without actually knowing it, but because it was told to you from a generation before, you just go, well, must be true. And that's a hard thing to do. To have to start wondering, wait, all that was told to me for all the, that maybe isn't true, some of it's true, none of it. You have to start questioning everything again. It was the first time I had any sort of education to start questioning things that I had been conditioned to learn and know. This professor was just bust people's balls too. No curve. You just took the test. People were quitting class. I was struggling. Struggling like BC. I never got a C in college until French. I did get a C. But I was in that low B spot. I didn't want to get a C. And I ended up with a low B. But the class was so hard. But that teacher, I don't think he even knew who I was, but I was a student that was very dedicated to learning because I was so interested. I was curious. And I really appreciated him because you could tell he cared, even though he was very hard. He walked to school every day. And a lot of times I'd see him and I'd want to pick him up, but I was like, what am I gonna pick? He didn't want to ride. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, I don't know. He just walked with his books, older guy, beard. He'd come in, loved philosophy, wasn't the warmest, nicest guy. Wasn't mean, but just came in, do the job, passionate about it. A little weird, then would leave. And so finally, the whole summer, I was just working. I was like, man, when I go back, I'll call him Mr. Jones. I was like, I'm going to go back. I cannot wait. I'm going to go to Mr. Jones. I'm going to go to his office and knock on the door. And I'm going to say, hey, Mr. Jones, you've changed my life. You don't even know who I am. My name's Bobby. I was in your class. There were 80 other people in this class, but I'm going to tell you, you changed my life. And I planned because I'd wanted to do it or reach out to him. I never did. And I was like, you know what? If I see him on the side of the road, I'm picking him up. Because I'd had all these new feelings and emotions, and I had a lot of growth. Most of my growth was realizing I had a lot to grow. And so first day of school, I go and I look, and they'd built a new building because we were in like those temporary trailers, like, I don't know what they are, but what are
portables.
They called? Portables. Yeah, portables for that part of the campus. And his office was in a portable before, and I'm trying to find out where his office is because they just rebuilt one of the halls. And I go over and I look, and I can't find his name on the list. I'm like, what? It must be another building. So I go over to the little center where you ask, you have any questions. I said, hey, what happened to Mr. Jones? They said he died like 2 weeks ago. I never told him. Always, I wanted to tell him before I left, and I was like, I'll wait. I'll tell him the new year. I'll tell him. He died 2 weeks before I was able to go and actually go, hey, man, your passion for this and your ability to express it and how you challenge me in this class has shaped who I know I'm not. And I built it up, and I waited too long, and I was 2 weeks late, and I regret that. And I don't regret many things. I pushed a button that cost $1 million once. That was tough. But that's really a big regret for me because that I could have done it at any point. I could have done it when the school ended. I had the same feeling. I was just nervous to do it and scared to do it. But then when I went to do it, he was dead. Or was he?
What on earth?
So anyway, so hey, good thing about your roommate, huh? How about that?
Yeah, man. Shout out, John.
This for those that are new to this show, this is how a 5-hour show used to be. We play no music. We come on 5:01, something I'd have on a piece of paper, and I would go, oh, how about this? Is a shortage in toilet paper. Shortages, man. And it'd be an hour of some weird, and we would just go for 5 hours. No music. Sometimes we'd be like, let's just skip commercials. We get in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
Then we play like 2 commercial blocks back to back because we'd never get to them. But that is kind of what this show used to be. And then it is what it is now. We have to play a couple songs and we have to hit commercials because if we don't, our affiliates leave us and we don't need that. They don't need to be in the allegory of the cave right in the middle of it and leave me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So anyway, that's that. That's the whole story. I obviously didn't plan to get there because that wasn't the idea.
Yeah.
Well, also a takeaway from that for listeners.
Don't punt.
What?
Don't punt. Yeah. Go do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
go
exactly.
Go for it.
Because like, you're going to regret it. Don't punt crap.
If you have something you would like to say to someone, go ahead and say it.
There's never a perfect time for anything. It's not even about saying something. There's not a perfect time. You're waiting to have kids? Ain't a perfect time.
That's true.
You'll never be ready.
If you're waiting to get a house because you're not exactly and you don't know when, there's not a perfect time. There's not a perfect time. The perfect time is right now. Now, don't do anything that's going to get
rash.
You. Like, well, not even rash. Don't do anything that is irresponsible. But if you're like, you know, we could right now, but what we need is for this to, in the market to, and there's not a perfect time. There's never a perfect time for anything because you can't predict unpredictable things. Which I could do another hour on people to go expect the unexpected. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You can't possibly expect something that's unexpected.
Because it's unexpected.
Now, you can expect for things to happen that you weren't told were going to happen. But you can't expect the unexpected because it's unexpected. And if it's unexpected, you can't get to the expectation. Anyway, we're done.
Yeah.
Is that 15 minutes?
Did we hit the mark?
I had a question, but I'm scared.
You want to know what happened to John after he
18?
Oh, good.
Got his philosophy degree.
Yeah, where's John?
And he went to the Marines, and then he became a JAG, and now he has a law firm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So shout out John Hodges. Good job.
Philosophy degree.
You guys act like something sad.
No. Wait. This whole thing started with philosophy degree is one of the worst ones, right?
Yes.
And this dude's a JAG lawyer?
Yeah, but he didn't study law.
He went a different route.
You can get any degree, then go to law school.
Yeah. He went in the Marines, and he decided, you know, I'm going to become a lawyer. And so then we had to pay for him to go to law school.
You did?
Yeah, he called me up and said, hey, man, You're going to pay for me to go to law school because he was in the Marines, so we pay for.
Oh, the government. Oh, the people. Yeah, the you people didn't attack taxes.
But that's what. But no. Oh, that's what gosh. He told me. He called me. And goes, hey man, I'm gonna need you to do me something. I'm gonna need you to pay for me to go to law school.
Oh my gosh.
And so then when he graduated from the University of Nebraska Law School, he called me. Goes, hey, thanks man, I got my law degree. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but then
thanked you specifically. I didn't get the call.
I know
my taxes too.
Yeah, I understand. Then he was a JAG, and now
let me roll through these stories real quick. Jimmy Allen is gonna host New Year's Eve special on CBS. That's my friend that did that job I was talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I couldn't do it. And I was like, who they got? Because I've known for a long time. Love that it's Jimmy. That's my dude. He's going to do a great job. And he performed on it last year. And it's going to be awesome. So I'm not encouraging you guys to watch it because they weren't really able to meet my needs. But if you need to watch one, this is the one you watch. But Jimmy's going to do a great job. Dang. What?
Thought it was going to be me. Thought they were going to call.
Dang, they didn't. A rumored painting of Shakespeare set to sell for $12 million. A man thinks he has a previously unknown painting of William Shakespeare. The current owner bought it in 1975 for $400. Leading Shakespeare expert Michael Dobson says that the idea it's a portrait of Shakespeare is wishful thinking. And I think that's because we've kind of invented what Shakespeare looked like.
Yes.
By the way, they don't even know if there's one Shakespeare or if it was a bunch of people or if Shakespeare was a fraud.
Really?
And just stole everybody's work because there's so many, it's so derivative of other things. Well, I can do another hour.
I like that though. That's cool. It's like the telephone game with history.
It is, and there is a thing, there's what we remember of Shakespeare and what they've drawn, this painting, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But some people swear on their life there was no single Shakespeare. There was a group of, like a troop.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think there was a Shakespeare, but he stole everything. Or, and some people think there was a Shakespeare, but he was just an idiot, and they used him for all the really good works, and they used him as like the mouthpiece of it to be like, I wrote this, so it was someone who could be the face of it.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of theories about that. A doctor seeing more pickleball injuries, nothing serious, but just people are playing more, so they're getting hurt more. And then vandals freed more than 10,000 minks from a farm in Ohio on Tuesday. An activist group called Animal Liberation Front may have been behind it. A lot of minks were killed crossing a road next to the property.
Oh,
what are minks?
That is so ironic. They look
little weird cats.
Like ferrets.
Mink coats.
Yeah, they're not cats, but I'm just visual. They,
like little ferrets.
It's like they've got the fur and
boots with the fur.
I mean, I guess they were going to die anyways.
Yeah,
but they let
ferret's a good thing.
A ferret?
Like a ferret with a cat fur.
Yeah.
Amy, what was your question real quick if we have to go? Did you
no.
had one?
Oh yeah, no, but we'll be here
about philosophy.
No, hit it. I'm not an expert. I just tell you what.
Go ahead.
No,
Amy.
I mean
what
no. I've enjoyed everything. That
are you
going to
ask? Are there any modern day philosophers?
Oh my God,
yeah.
Lizzo.
Why, man, great.
I think Lizzo says some really in depth stuff. Yeah, it's
in her fun little songs.
She's catchy and she songs and Lizzo's awesome. But yes, there are some modern day philosophers.
Okay,
I think Lizzo is quite remarkable.
People love her.
That's it.
What was your question real quick?
I think it was about the unexpected. It was more so like, can you expect the idea and be open to the unexpected? Could that be what it's saying too?
No, it says expect the unexpected.
Okay.
You can't. It's unexpected, but you can expect things that you had no idea were going to happen.
Right.
You can't expect unexpected.
Okay, so that's how you want to say it. Yeah.
You can't run fast, slow.
What? No, you can't.
Can you run fast, slow?
No.
Can you expect unexpected?
No, because it's unexpected.
Yeah. The idea of the unexpected?
You can expect the idea, but you don't know what it is.
Right.
You can't expect the unexpected. You can't run fast, slow.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I just like the idea of being open to the unexpected.
Man, talk about this stuff. Turns me on. I'll be honest with you.
Okay, let's go.
Not in that way. Not in that way. I like. All right, we're out of here. See you guys.
Bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.